Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, look if you would, starting at verse 3. Paul, writing to this church, he says in verse 3, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense of the confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. Now, in this passage here, one of the great things that we see in this passage is you see eternal security that's taught. In other words, it's teaching you this, that if you are saved, you cannot lose your salvation. And we know that because it says right here in verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to continue, as Christians, he's going to continue to do a work within us. He's going to continue to change us into the image of Christ. He's going to constantly conform us into the image of Christ. And you know, sometimes that's going to be hard to do, and sometimes it's going to be easier to do. It's kind of like, you know, we've seen the thing where the potter is, you know, working with the clay, and sometimes he has to press pretty hard to get it to shape right, and other times he don't have to press as hard to get it shape right. We've all got problems, amen? We all sin. We've all come short of the glory of God, but it was only by the grace of God that we're saved. But since we've been saved, the Lord is doing a work on us. And some of us, like myself, got a lot of work to go, amen? And so I think we all have a lot of work, a long ways to go. But one of these days, when we get on the other side of once we leave this life, then we will be exactly the way God wants us to be. Now, Paul here, when he's writing to this church, you will notice that his interest in this church really never ceased. I mean, he had led a lot of these people to the Lord, that he had started a church there. But he just didn't leave them, you know, just to continue going. He continued to talk with this church and write the letter to them and pray for them and love them. And this is because he had been a part. I mean, it was the Lord who saved him, but Paul had been the one who'd witnessed to him, and Paul had been the one who started the church there. And if you read the Pauline epistles, you'll see that some of these churches that he wrote to, all of them had some problems. Okay, sometimes we get to the point where we read our New Testament and we think that the church of Corinth is just they had all these different problems, and they did. But every church had their own problems. I mean, you had Galatians where people was teaching a false gospel to them. You had even Philippians here where they had some disputes within the church. And so all of them had problems, but you'll notice that Paul had a love for these churches. And Paul, even though he would talk about the things that the church was doing wrong, he also commended them for the things that they were doing right. Even in a book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, there were some times that Paul commended them for the things that they were doing right. And so when you read the letter from Paul to this church here, you'll notice that he does commend them. For instance, in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast, Lord, my dearly beloved. You can tell how much he loved the people of this church. In verse 15, chapter 4, verse 15, it says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated to me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So again, he's commending this church for what they're doing good. And may I tell you that there are no perfect churches. I'm just going to tell you right now, you can look all over this country, all over this world, and you say, I want to find the perfect local New Testament church. That does not exist. I'm going to tell you right now. And if it does, it won't. The second you walk in, then it's probably no longer perfect. Amen? I mean, that's just the bottom line. Why? Because we're all sinners. And we're all still tempted, and we all mess up from time to time, and sometimes that gets into the church. And so there are no perfect churches. There are no perfect pastors. There are no perfect members. However, I will say that there are certain people that churches need more of today. Okay? Now, we know that there's, you know, we read a lot in the Bible about, you know, how Christians are not to be, you know, we're not to be murmuring, we're not to be backbiting, we're not to be starting rumors, we're not to be, you know, we are not to have attitude one toward another. But, you know, we know that that type of thing should not be among us. But at the same time, there are some qualities that every church member should have. And what I'm saying is this, that in today, in this country, and in fact, all over the world, churches are in great need of certain people. And everybody in this room can be those certain people. Anybody can be those certain people. It's the thing that if churches had more people, like we're going to talk about this morning, with certain qualities, the Lord would be able to use that church far more effective. And the Lord would be able to bless that church even more. And so what I'm saying this morning is, you know, when we look at these things, I want you to ask yourself, am I that person? Am I that person that the local church needs? And if you are answer says, you know, I'm really not the person that the Bible talks about, then you can be today. You can start being that person today, okay? And so what I want to do is I want to show you basically the type of members that every local church needs. And here they are. Number one, every local church needs faithful members. Every local church needs faithful members. Nowhere in the Bible will you see anyone being commended for their greatness. Nowhere will you see believers commended for their brilliance. But many times in the Bible, you'll see people who are blessed and commended for their faithfulness. I think about in 1927, a baseball player, his name was Lou Gehrig of the New York Yankees. He was named the most outstanding ball player of the year. During his lifetime, he played more consecutive games than any other person in history of the sport. He never missed a game the entire time he played. And because of that, they called him the Iron Man of baseball. What made him so great? It was his faithfulness to the game. He never missed a game. And so, you know, the problem that many churches have today, there are some church members that just don't ever get in the game. There are some church members that just you know, they never show up. They never serve God. I mean, there are people today, and of course, we all know people like this, but there are some people today that they only come to church, you know, on Christmas and Easter. And it's almost as if they, and now listen, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for any time a person comes to church. Amen. I'll tell you this. I'd rather have them Christmas and Easter than not have them at all. Why? Because at least two times a year they get to hear the gospel and get to hear the Bible preached. At least two times a year the Lord has got, you know, the Lord is speaking to them through the preaching. And maybe things could change. Maybe the Lord will grab a hold of their heart one day. So I'm thankful for that. But there are some people when they come to church, they almost act like they've done the church a great favor by coming in on Easter and Christmas. May I tell you, the churches today need people that are faithful. Why? Because it's not about us. It's about everybody else. You see, the problem is, and you've heard me say this before, is one of the problems that we have as Christians is we think it's all about me. Boy, you know what? I need to go to church. I need to preach. Yes, you do. All of us do. But don't you understand that when you come to a church, it's about you serving the Lord. It's about you praising God. And it's about you encouraging others. Do you know what the purpose of the local New Testament church is? For the edifying of the saints. Now, I understand that a lot of people preach today and say, you know what, you need to be winning so many souls inside your church. And I've had pastors ask me, and they say, well, how many people have gotten saved at your church this year? And it's almost like they're having a competition. May I tell you that, hey, I'm happy when anybody gets saved in this church. But I want to tell you that the whole reason that this local church meets here on Sunday morning is to edify the saints. Now, what are we supposed to do when we leave these doors? We're supposed to go out and witness to people and tell people the gospel. And when they get saved, we bring them in so that way we can train them up and send them out so they can witness to people and preach the gospel and bring them in. That's the way it's supposed to work. Now, I'm thankful when people get saved in this church, But listen, the purpose of this church, while we're here on Sunday morning, is for believers to be edified. And that doesn't all come with a pastor. It comes with everybody in this room. You say, how is that? Well, you know what? When you walk up and you shake somebody's hand and say, hey, sister, I've been praying for you. How are things going? Has the Lord answered your prayer? Are you feeling any better? That's encouragement. And that's a good reason for you to come to church. You see, it's not just for you. It's for everybody else. I don't know if you're like me or not, but I'll tell you this. When I'm down, I like to be encouraged. And I'll tell you something else, too. Sometimes Christians can drive us batty. Amen? Sometimes they can. But I'll tell you this. Even the one that drive me the most batty, I'd rather hang around that one than people in the world any day in this week. You know why? Because we all have the Holy Spirit of God within us. We're all going to be together one of these days in heaven. Amen? And we're going to be there a long time. So you heard me say it before, if you don't get along with Christians today, you better learn, because you're going to be with them a long time. Amen? And so what I'm saying is this, folks. When you come to church, it's supposed to be so that you can get encouraged, but not just so you can get encouraged, it's so that you can encourage others. But and I'll tell you something. Churches today need people that are faithful. People that'll come. People that will encourage others. People that will come to worship the Lord. And I'll tell you this. Churches today are full of people that really aren't that faithful. You know, a person that's not only faithful coming to church, but faithfully out there telling people about Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, I just don't know. I just don't know if that's me, if I'm as faithful, then you can start being more faithful today. Amen? Let me ask you this. If Christ were to walk in here this morning and pick out the most faithful member in this church, would it be you? If it's not, why wouldn't it? You ever think about that? I mean, you say, well, I'm not the most faithful member. You can be. Everybody in this church can be. Question is, are you going to start being faithful? So my prayer is that God will keep on sending us faithful Christians. And I'll tell you something, folks. We've got some faithful Christians in this church, and I'm thankful for that. Boy, am I thankful for that. I've been in churches where they didn't have very faithful people. But I'm thankful, and we are blessed in this church to have thankful people. If you can be more faithful, then be more faithful, because that's what this church needs. I'll tell you another thing, another group of people that that churches all around America and all around the world need, not just faithful members, but willing people. Willing people. I heard a person say one time, we have willing people, all right, some willing to work and others willing to let them. That's kind of true. You know, it's always been hard to find people willing to do what God wants them to do. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 says this. It says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, before the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. And what that's saying in Ezekiel is this. God says, I'm looking for somebody who will be willing to stand there and defend this land before me and say, Lord, why don't you pray and say, Lord, why don't you just spare the land and spare Israel? And he goes, and I'm looking for somebody to stand in the gap, but I found none. You know what that's telling you? That's telling you even back in the time of Ezekiel that there were people that just weren't willing to do what needed to be done for the Lord. They weren't willing to serve him. And every church has members who are willing to do the work of the Lord, but it's much harder to find Christians who are willing that'll do what God wants them to do rather than what they want to do. And and it seems like there are so many people that say they're willing, but yet they're really not by their actions. Believers ought to be willing to make adjustments and needed to make time for the Lord. You know, the Lord is to be our top priority no matter what. And all the things of this world are only temporary, but the things of Christ will last forever. Now, in our churches, I'll tell you this, we have two basic groups. You have those people who complain about what needs to be done, and then you have those people who step up and volunteer to fix what needs to be done. And you know, that's really the way it is all over the world, not just in churches, but everywhere. And it's been said that a grasshopper on a fence makes more noise than the ox in a field, but the ox does the work. And some people in the church talk too much, but they don't ever do anything. But, you know, a person who really loves the Lord be willing to serve the Lord any way the Lord would lead them to serve Him. In other words, any place I can serve suits, as long as your attitude ought to be, any place I can serve is good for me. Whatever the Lord wants me to do, I'll be glad to work anywhere as long as I can glorify the Lord. Now, I do believe that the things that you volunteer for should be in an area that you're somewhat good at. Amen? I'll give you an example. If you volunteered to do something in the church that needs to be done, but you have never done that thing before, maybe you better let somebody else do it before you do it. Amen? And you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, you think about this. If you're an elderly lady who has never had any mechanical experience and no plumbing experience, perhaps you're not the one to fix the leaking sink inside this kitchen. Amen? I mean, that makes sense. You say, well, I want to serve the Lord. Yes, I understand that, but we want it fixed. Amen? You know, something else too. I mean, think about this. Maybe you're a person today who you're in here and you have absolutely no patience, hardly at all. Maybe work in the nursery is not your strong point. Amen? What I'm trying to say is this. We need to have faithful people. We need to have willing people. But you need to pray about where the Lord wants you to serve Him. And do what He wants you to do. And then a third group of people. Not only do we need faithful people, not only do we need willing people, we need studying people. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That Bible tells us specifically to study our Bibles. And you say, well, why is it so important for church members, for people that come to church, to study their Bible? It is very important that you study your Bible. Number one, God said to do it. That is the number one most important reason why you should study your Bible, because God said so. Amen? And if we're going to do what God wants us to do, then we need to be Bible studiers. But there's another reason behind that, and that is because how many of you understand that there are false teachers that are snuck in unawares, and there are false teachers sneaking into churches all over this country? They're coming in, folks. Hey, listen, there are churches today that's being changed to where they no longer teach truth anymore because people have come into that church and started to affect the way people teach and start to bring in different heresies, and all of a sudden the pastor breaks or the pastor hasn't been studying this Bible and he falls for them too, and the next thing you know, they're not even preaching the gospel anymore. It's happening all over this country. You say, well, what's the problem? People in the church aren't studying their Bible. Now listen, it's certainly bad enough that the preacher ain't studying his Bible, because he should be, but everybody should be studying their Bible. Why? Because if everybody's studying their Bible, then a person gets up here and he starts to preach something that isn't true, everybody be like, hey, hold on, that's not what my Bible says. Problem is, today you live in a place, today in this country, you have churches where people just come and they expect everything that they learn to come from the pastor's lips. And I'm telling you right now, if everything you learn come from my lips, you're wrong. Why? Because I can make mistakes. I could teach something that isn't right. And if all you do is just come here and say, well, all the Bible I learned from Pastor Crowder, that's horrible. That's horrible. Don't ever do that. The Bible you learn should be from studying it, praying over it, allowing the Holy Spirit of God to teach you. I'm not saying that the Lord isn't going to use me to teach you something. I'm not saying that. But listen, you should be studying the Bible. After every message, you should take it home and say, hey, I'm going to study this out, see what he said, and maybe you'll get another blessing out of it, perhaps, or possibly you may find out maybe the preacher blew it. But you need to be studying your Bible. And if you study your Bible, you're going to help protect this church from false teachers. I'd say that's pretty important. I tell you this, I can honestly say that the churches that have changed their doctrine and allowed false doctrine to come into their churches, number one, their pastor probably wasn't studying his Bible, and I can guarantee you that the members were not studying theirs. I can guarantee it, because there's no way that heresy could come in. There's no way it could come in if everybody's studying their Bible. You know, one of the things I'm thankful for, we use the King James here, but there have been times I've done studies and I've compared versions, and somehow or another on my notes, I end up having with a different version. And it's happened twice since I've been here. Both times, I had somebody come up and says, "Hey, you know what came from the different version." I was like, "Amen." People listening, amen. Let me tell you something else that happened too. It's kind of embarrassing. I think it was either Wednesday night or Sunday night. Which one was it, Brother Al? Was it Wednesday night or Sunday night when I blew it? What is it? Sunday night. Sunday night I'm preaching and I'm getting all lathered. I'm all fired up, you know. And all of a sudden, somehow or another, out of my lips said that saved people go to hell. To this day, I honestly don't remember saying it. But I tell you what, people caught that thing right now. And I mean, by the time I went back, I had people say, "Hey, you know what you said?" I said, "What did I say?" "You said saved people went to hell." I did. Yeah. Hey, even my son was sitting back there, Caleb. And even he caught it. That really surprised me. Amen. Hey, you know what that means, though? And number one, that means that you've been studying your Bible and you know better than to think that a saved person could go to hell. But it also says that you're listening and you're keeping this pastor honest. Amen. Hey, listen. All churches need people that will study their Bible and understand what it means. Listen, you're never going to get to the point where you know the whole thing. If you think you are, read Ezekiel again and come talk to me. Or Zechariah, when you start talking about the roll floating around and going house to house. I don't understand that thing. We're never going to understand all of it. But we are supposed to be studying it. Amen? And I'll tell you what, this churches all over America, churches all over this world need Bible, need people that will study their Bible, faithful people, willing people, and studying people, people that are studying their Bible. That's what we need, folks. We need it desperately. And then the fourth group of people that we need is we need praying members. Praying members. There in Philippians chapter 1, notice if you would in verse 3, it says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine, you are all making requests with joy." A growing church is a praying church. And one of the most important things you can do for this church is pray for it. Pray for each other. Pray for the teachers of our youth. Pray for our young people. Pray for our new converts. Pray for the different ministries that's going on in this church. Pray for our missionaries. Pray, pray, pray. And I'll tell you something, folks. The most important thing that you can do for this church, you know, what we like to do is we like to say, "Well, all I can do now is just pray." That is really not the way to look at prayer. Because if that's the way you're looking at prayer, number one, you're taking for granted, something that isn't true. Because, you know, we look at it as a last resort. Kind of like, you know, okay, I'm losing the war, so it's time to drop the bomb. Well, no. We should be praying all the time. And I love serving members. I love people that are faithful. I love people that are studying their Bible. But if you ask me right now, what is the number one thing that you would like for everybody in this church to do? Hands down, it would be pray. Because I'm going to tell you right now, folks, when you pray, you have the ear of the Creator. And He can do everything, anything He wants to do. Amen? There's nothing God can't do. And if you're talking to Him and asking things, if He decides to answer prayer, hey, listen, that prayer's going to be answered. So of all the things that we need more than anything else in this church are people that will pray. Now listen, there are some people that would love to serve the Lord, just aren't able to. Amen? There are some people that like to do some things in the church that are just not physically able to do it. Well, I'll tell you this, you could be praying. And I'll tell you what, if you're praying, you're doing more for this church than the person who is fixing the faucet. Why? Because prayer is powerful. Prayer is the thing that we need. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for our missionaries. We need to pray for the ministries of this church. That's the most important thing you can do. Everybody in this church should be praying people. And if you're not praying, shame on you. Because that's a very, very, that's an important thing. That's what we need, folks. We need people that will pray. I'll tell you this, I've seen God answer prayers in this church already. And it excites me. And it really excites me because I know that people are praying. There, like we said before, there are kids in this church right now that are here because God answered prayer. Because people decide to pray for them. Now, Lord, we didn't think there was any way possible that we could get these kids to come in. God made a way. Listen, we need to keep on praying. Not only that, but we also need people, not only that will pray, but we need people of vision. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. All around us, there are unsaved, unchurched people, about thousands, but many of them could be brought in if people would just go after them seriously. No church can grow by keeping the good news a secret and keeping the gospel to themselves. Churches need people who will go out and bring them in, and people who have a vision about different ministries. People who say, hey, listen, I think we can reach people this way, or I think we can reach people that way, and you know, pray about it and see if the Lord opens the door for it, and then go out there and do it. Have a vision. But so often people today, they just come in and they're not thinking about the lost. They're not thinking about people out there who are suffering and people who need to hear the gospel. They're not thinking about those things. They're not thinking about ways to go out and reach them. We need people with vision, folks. And it can't just be the pastor. I'll tell you this, we have folks in here in this church that has vision, that have gone out and say, you know what? I think we can reach these people here, and I think we can reach these people here. There are different ministries going on right now to where people are just going out and just gathering people in and are using different techniques to do it. All biblical techniques. That's vision. That's good. Amen? We need more of that. We need more of that. Every church needs more of that. That leads me to the sixth one. We also need people who are optimistic. Now I'm going to tell you say, well, boy, that's kind of different than the rest of them. That doesn't fit, you know. I mean, everything else kind of sounds good, but then all of a sudden you break out the optimistic people. Well, here's what Paul said in Philippians 4:13. He says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. How many of you believe that this morning? Amen. That we can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthen us. Notice this, it's Christ that does the strengthening, not us. Okay? But here's the problem. We have a lot of Christians all over in every church. Every church has them. You have those Christians that say, you know what? There's no way we could possibly ever do that. So that right there is just not going to happen. Well, I understand. That's a good thought and everything. Come on, let's be real. There's no possible way we could do that. That's the last thing that we need. We need Christians. Hey, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have good counsel. We should. I'm not saying that we should not be responsible with what the Lord gives us. We should. I mean, after all, we're supposed to be good stewards, okay? But at the same time, sometimes I think that all churches get to the point to where they almost become more like a business than a church. Listen, if you pray and you believe, if it's God's will, it's going to happen. And sometimes we want to be the naysayers and say, nah, it's never going to happen. Well, then keep on asking God. Keep on praying and believing. The problem is today that the devil uses pessimism in a church to stop the Lord's work, or at least hinder it. When it comes to something, if we have a vision, we say, you know, we think we can reach more people, but it just doesn't look like we're able to right now, then keep on praying that the Lord open the door, and if God's willing for it to happen, it will happen. Amen? Amen? But we can't get to the point where we say, well, listen, we just can't do that. How do you know you can't do that? God can do anything he wants to. Right. But we always want to stop rather than going forward for the Lord. We need people that are optimistic, people that believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We need people that believe that, people that will hang on that, people that will pray, people that are faithful, people that are optimistic. Don't always be the naysayer. Don't always be the naysayer. You remember, we're not going to go there, but you know the story. You remember the story back there in the book of Numbers? And Moses sent in the spies. Now you think about this. He sent in 12 spies. And they sent them into the land of Canaan to spy out the place. And when they went into the land of Canaan, all of a sudden they came back, and 10 of those cats came up and said, you should see the size of them giants. Those guys, now of course this is the Bob Crowder version, okay, but those guys are huge. To us, I mean, to them, we look like a bunch of grasshoppers. They'd squash us like grapes. We don't stand a chance. 10 of them said that. But there were two that come out there, Joshua and Caleb. They come out of there and somebody said, "What say ye? These 10 over here said that we're going to get crushed and there are big giants there and we don't stand a chance." And both of those guys said, "With God on our side, them guys don't stand a chance. Let's go." You know what? You say, how does God feel about naysayers? Read the rest of the story. You know what happened? God says, okay, because y'all decide to believe the naysayers, then you don't get to go into the land of Canaan. Everybody from 20 years old and older don't get to go in. And everybody from 20 years old and older died before he entered the land of Canaan, except for two people, Caleb and Joshua. They got to go in. Why? Because they believed in the power of God. The rest of them were naysayers. You get the idea that maybe God is not the biggest fan of naysayers? I mean, to say we can't do this and we can't do that. Well, I'll give you this. You're right when you say that we can't, but God can. We can't do anything in our strength, but God can. Hey, listen, if they were in their own strength, if they didn't have God with them back there in the book of Numbers, they would have gotten crushed like a grape when they went in there. But as long as God was with them, Caleb and Joshua were right. They didn't stand up. Those giants didn't stand a chance. The people of Canaan didn't stand a chance as long as God's with them. Don't be the naysayer. Churches today need people that are optimistic, people that believe that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And so there's certain people that the church needs. Then there's one more, and this is the most important. Every church in this country, this church, needs the most important thing, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, he is to be the number one on the list, because without him, what would be the point of us even being here? Do you realize that if Jesus Christ had not died on that cross and shed his blood, we could all just go home right now and go home and just wait to die? There is absolutely no reason for you to be here today if Jesus Christ did not do what he did on that cross. No reason at all. But he did die on the cross. And when he died on that cross, he died for you and me. Amen? Now listen, if you're not saved here today, you need to understand that Jesus Christ loves you. He's always loved you. And he died on the cross for you. And you need to receive him in order to have everlasting life. But may I tell you that this church needs Jesus Christ, and every church needs Jesus Christ to be the head of the church. The head of this church is not me. The head of this church is not you. It is to be Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you right now, if we ever get to the point to where we do not operate this church according to his word, the Bible, if it ever gets to the point where he's no longer the head of this church, then the Holy Spirit will leave this church and this church will die, it will be dead, and it won't be worth coming to. The most important thing that every church in America needs is Jesus Christ. But I will tell you that there are plenty of churches. There are churches in this town, there are churches in this state, there are churches all over this country, there are churches in the world where Jesus Christ hadn't been in that church since day one. And I'm going to tell you right now, without him in our presence, folks, we're wasting our time. Wasting our time. He needs to stay the head of this church. There are people that churches need today. Faithful people, optimistic people, willing people, praying people, serving people. Let me ask you something this morning. Are you one of those people? If you are, amen. You say, I think I could do a little better. Then start today. Amen. Why? Because this church needs you. This church needs you. Everybody here today is important to this church. Everybody is. But what we need are people that meet those qualifications. Let's pray.